Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about auto-antisemitism, or self-hating Jews. This is a phenomenon where Jews hate the Jewish people, hate Israelis, hate Judaism as a whole. This is what we'd like to talk about today. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, in recent years, we have witnessed a phenomenon where Jews and Israelis harshly criticize, even in a hostile way, the Jewish people, the state of Israel, and along with it, they feel that they're doing something very positive. The way they see it, they're a part of the Jewish people. They want to stay a part of the Jewish people. They're no less Israeli or Jewish because of it. But they do feel that the path that we have taken is wrong, and they're willing to take action. Actions that, in the eyes of others, seem as actions of hate, hostile actions, but in their opinion, they have actually come to correct injustice and the values of the Jewish people and of Judaism as a whole. And this is the phenomenon that we'd like to talk about today. And I'd like to read a definition that I've found on the internet about auto-antisemitism. Jewish self-hate is a social psychological phenomenon where a person of Jewish descent shows obsessive hostile behavior toward the Jewish people, towards the people of Israel, much like the anti-Semites themselves. What are the characteristics of this kind of anti-Semitism? This stems from within the people of Israel themselves. Where did this special people come from? We'll learn about this from the Torah. That first of all, humanity developed, reaching a state where about 3,500 years ago, it started feeling in ancient Babylon, where actually was the center of humanity, where there were many nations, but they lived calmly, peacefully, and suddenly their pride grew. Their ego, they started asking, what are we living for? What's the meaning of this all? Why is one or another person greater than others? And so on. And among them, there was a very educated person, their priest. His name was Terach, Abraham's father. And he understood that there's a certain problem here. What do you do? People believed in little idols that they used to buy from him. And Abraham, who grew up with this father and in this kind of family, also took care of the people of the nation. He was like, let's call him a spiritual leader of those Babylonians. It was a pretty developed civilization. They had plenty and abundance, more or less, and they lived a pretty good life until their ego started developing. It's a process where the egoistic desire grows in everyone, and then begins competition, and they started feeling that they can no longer get along with each other. And this is how it was among everyone. in a relatively small way compared with what we have today. It's a very small and primitive kind of ego. But Abraham understood that this is something that comes from the law of nature, that man's ego, his desire to feel greater, superior, to enjoy life, to be superior to others, something that didn't exist before. Before that, they lived like in a village. You know, everything's open. No one closed anything. Everything's common. Who wants this? Who wants that? Because the simple ego feels no need for separation. But suddenly, they started feeling, this mine, this his. Don't take mine. I won't take yours. And they started building different borders, boundaries, these kinds of relations between them. If you don't give me, I won't give you, and so on. And Abraham, who researched it all, he understood that it's probably the law of nature, that this is how it works on a society that grew up, that is more mature, that is more developed, like with a child that grows up. And he understood that nature that is developing this egoistic law, that the ego is constantly growing between people, it's growing in order to allow people to actually connect above the ego. Because in the oppositeness between the ego and what's above it, in the oppositeness between these two forces, can they understand the laws of nature, the two forces that act in nature, the separating and the connecting forces? And the depth is between them. Yes, the special state is between these two. And he started explaining this to people. And a special group was formed that in the future will be called Israel. What do we want to understand from here? That, first of all, there are people from those ancient Babylonians that start feeling both the egoistic force and also the opposite force, the altruistic force, the force of connection that connects them. And people that have these two forces are called Jews, because by nature, they are directed towards connection, unity, and the rest of the people that did not receive the drive for connection, the desire for it, are called the nations of the world. And what force do they have? Only the simple egoistic force, and also not that big. The altruistic force that grows in a person also demands or needs the increasing of the egoistic force. And so what we have is a group that includes both forces of nature, the positive and as if the negative. And this group is developed. And there is a group that is less developed, because it doesn't need to develop that much in its egoistic force, because what they have is enough for them in order to live their life. And they have no need to develop the altruistic force. They have just one force. Now, and so we see that in that part of humanity called the people of Israel that have these two forces, first of all, they're very opposed to one another, in contradiction with one another and with themselves, because they all have these two opposite forces in them. These are people that can't that easily get along neither with themselves nor with others, because they're in conflict. They're in an inner struggle between them. And this is what we're witnessing to this day in every Jew, that they consist of the Gentile and the Jewish part in them. And therefore, they're in inner restlessness. And this is the answer to what you have asked. Why are there Jews that hate themselves? In each and every Jew, there is a force that hates himself, because in him there is an egoistic, very big egoistic part of the will to receive in him. And if he does not balance himself out with the altruistic force, then of course he has self-hate. And he'd be more than happy to stop being a part of the Jewish people and to be a part of the nations of the world. And to this day, we see how much the Jews want to run away and hide among the nations of the world. That auto-anti-Semite, he first of all has to be a Jew with these two forces, right? That this is where the entire contradiction and the ability to hate himself is formed. But what does he hate? Himself, the people of his nation, Judaism. What exactly? He hates the second force, the other force that has transcended his ego, the force that is the opposite of the ego, the altruistic force. He hates it. So a Jew who has these two forces has this constant inner struggle between the altruistic and the egoistic forces. But he's not really aware of it. He has some kind of inner changes, kind of instability, let's call it. And that person that has these two forces actually is unaware of it. He'll say that he's doing whatever he's doing, all of his criticism against Judaism and the State of Israel and everything is out of goodwill to make a change. It doesn't matter how that person justifies himself. We're talking about this is how it is by nature, and this is what controls him. I understand that this is not a new phenomenon. Of course, it's been going on for thousands of years since then. Since the Jewish people was established, it exists since then. Still, what's special about the way in which auto-anti-Semitism is expressed in our time? It's actually like in any other period, that if there's an opportunity to be a Jew in this world and to benefit from it, then he does it and he uses it. If not, he doesn't. But it's not a Jew, because a Jew is he who develops the quality of bestowal and love of others. What the Torah demands of us, love another as yourself. Love covers all crimes. That the force of good that we receive is in order for us to rise above the force of evil, the egoistic force that exists in each of us. If so, then this way we also don't hate the evil force, the egoistic force in us, but we understand that because it exists in us, we have also received the opposite, the other, altruistic force, where we can crown one over the other, and that the control of the good force over the bad force will actually bring us to a special degree where the bad force will join the good force, and by these two forces, we will do good unto each other. And eventually, in between these two forces, will we start researching, acknowledging, understanding, perceiving nature, that these two forces come to us from nature, the positive and negative forces. And by that, we can come to know the uniqueness of nature, that eventually the attainment of the unity in nature, which consists of the good and the bad, this is our goal, to be adhered to the source, the absolute source from where these two forces come from. About auto-anti-Semitism, the word anti-Semitism, this we understand, we're familiar with it, it's where non-Jewish people hate Jewish people because they're Jewish, because they're Jews. And throughout history, we saw many expressions of it, relatively familiar. Auto-antisemitism is a concept that kind of confuses me. If I look at different periods in history, I see that Jews from different factions used to look at other Jews and used to develop some kind of very strong criticism against them that eventually could turn into hate. For example, when the immigration to Israel began, there was a new concept formed, the old Jews and the new Jews. The pioneers came and they said, we don't want to be Jews like we were in exile. There, that was the old Jew. Those were religious Jews, they had their way of life, and here we came here to build a new country for ourselves, and they built the motive of the new Jew. A few decades later, today, in the society that we live in, if I'll ask around, how does one or another sector relate to the other sectors or denominations? Or, for example, what do Jews that immigrated from Russia think about Orthodox Jews and vice versa? Or how do Tel Avivians feel about the settlers in Judea and Samaria? And we can find such examples everywhere. Very strong criticism about those Jews. And at some point where this criticism becomes deep enough, it turns into hate. And I think that this is the true danger that the Israeli society is in. The level to which we hate each other because of this and because of that. And now, going back to my question, because this is something that we're all familiar with. Now, when we're talking about auto-antisemitism, who are you to say that my criticism against you is auto-antisemitism? Your criticism against me is auto-antisemitism. How do we transcend disputes between sectors? Because disputes are actually a very good thing. Without that, the Jewish people would not develop. But how do we work with all of this? First of all, it is clear to us that all of us are torn into two, each of us, because in each of us there are these two forms of nature, two opposite forms, the will to receive and the will to bestow, the altruistic and the egoistic forces, meaning, like all other people, we are egoists, and in addition to that, we have some kind of an altruistic beginning that doesn't exist in anyone else. And this split that exists in each of us, this is the root of why do we look at life, at the world, in one way or another. We're not like ordinary people. We always have a thing, and it's opposite. And so we have self-hate, caring for others and hating others, and different such things, that Jews, they're always restless, always searching, because they don't understand themselves, they all the time want to correct the world, and so on. We saw it during the revolution in Russia. What happened? Jews did it. If you're going to research that, you'll see that everywhere you have a Jew who led a bigger or smaller department or group, and behind him you had the masses, the Gentiles. And this is how it is with everything. And today, too, no matter how you put it, were humanity to develop without Jews that opened all of the new options for development, out of the dualism of their nature, the force of reception and bestowal, and that they're all the time restless in between these two. Without that, humanity would have not developed at all. Then everyone would have been on the animate level, meeting their basic needs like back then without any development. We have to understand that Babylon gave the development to the entire human species to become like the upper force, like the creator that exists between the two opposite forces of nature, the positive and the negative. Otherwise, we would have just been in this one negative force, and that's that. We would have lived in caves. And that's how it is to this day. In your opinion, what's the difference between legit criticism? I'm a Jew, you're a Jew, we have different opinions, and that's fine. And hate, which is not legit. We can't. If I'm talking about these two approaches to life, the force of reception and the force of bestowal, egoistic and altruistic, these two forces, these two inclinations, they're opposite forces, and therefore every Jew is in this inner kind of split. And if he does not reach the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the method of how to balance these two forces and how to benefit from them, how to advance by myself and with all of humanity together, then it's a destructive force. We see that all the bad things in the world actually developed out of these two unbalanced forces. What do you do? Until we'll show the world that we, with our forces, where each of us is actually included of these two forces, that we can actually develop a correct attitude, approach to life and pass it on to the world, then both anti-Semitism from the nations of the world toward us and our inner anti-Semitism will not cease. The balance between these two opposite forces that tear every Jew apart. If he'll be able to be in balance with himself, and next to him there's another Jew who's also in balance with himself, and they have two different opinions, no problem. But still, if every Jew, which is such a complex creature, if he'll know how to be balanced with himself, his attitude toward another Jew will be legit criticism, constructive criticism? Is hate a result of inner disbalance? Of course, but also his criticism towards others will be only in order to help the other to be balanced. How does that work? Because a Jew who is a correct Jew, and that's only someone who's engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah, then what follows is that he balances himself by these two forces, negative and positive reception and bestowal, and also teaches others, giving them an example. And so his attitude towards others isn't that he criticizes them, but he tries to teach them, to give them an example, to help them, to also ascend in order to connect these two opposite negative and positive forces that exist in each of them in order to connect with one another. Like we see electricity, for example. Between the plus and the minus, you have to have some kind of resistor between these two forces so they won't short-circuit. And this way, you can use the opposite forces in nature in a good way toward the same goal. The goal being to receive a good result in the resistor that's between them. And the resistor is something that we ourselves have to arrange. Will a person feel more complete? Because right now I understand that he feels split on the inside. A person can correctly use himself only on condition that he understands that his purpose is to reach love of others. What's the connection? How does that calm the inner frictions inside himself? Because this way, I pass all of my forces onto love of others. I don't want anything for myself but the ability to do good to others that are outside of me. How does it affect these two forces? I use them to the fullest. So my altruistic force of connection is supposed to overcome the other egoistic force in me? That's the goal? Yeah? That's the balance? And the egoistic force, will it remain in me? Of course. Nothing disappears. Only they're in balance with one another. The minus and the plus. And then both the minus and the plus work in a good way in order to achieve the common goal, which is achieving connection and unity among everyone. We talked about auto-antisemitism. Now I want to ask about antisemitism. If the Jewish people does not do what we just talked about, meaning that they do not use their uniqueness in order to balance these two forces of plus and minus that exist in their nature to the benefit of the world, that only they know how to do it, and to cause the entire world to participate in the correct balance between the plus and the minus, that the nations of the world subconsciously do want to yield to the nation of Israel and do this? Were we to know how to do this, and we'd want to, and we would do it, then the entire world would have been together with us. We would have all together served this condition of the balance between these two opposite forces of plus and minus that exists in nature, and we would have made it big time. What comes first, anti-Semitism or auto-anti-Semitism? Auto-antisemitism, this quality exists in everyone because a person feels the contradiction between himself and the rest of the nations. It exists inside of him. Even where there are no other nations, he'd still hate the Jew inside himself versus the Gentile. And both of them exist together and grow together. And this is how it is and will be until we will learn how to correctly balance this work inside us to bring all of us to love. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.